Well, I actually have a story to tell. And I apologize for those who have heard it. There's some of you that haven't heard about it. But a couple years ago, I did ask, and you can be turning in your Bibles to 1 John. I did ask the pastor a couple years ago if it'd be okay if I preached on Sunday night. And he said, well, you're really not ready. So I let it go for about a year and approached him again. I said, brother, I'd really like to preach on Sunday night. And he said, well, you're really not ready. And I said, went about a year later and recently I said, brother, I have $50 if you'll let me preach. And he said, you're ready. Everybody has their price. I do want to bring a message tonight. I know Brother Kelly always has to have a title, but the title of it is I Want to Live the Way I Want To. Brother Mike made mention to that in his Sunday school hour this morning, and it kind of sent home what I was thinking about tonight. But we're going to look in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 4. We'll read down through verse 9. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's an easy definition. That's simple. And you know that He was, talking about Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Praise the Lord. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to bring a message from your word. And Lord, what a serious matter it is to stand before your people. And God, take a portion of your word and expound on it and think about it. Lord, to meditate on it. But I do pray your blessings upon it. I pray forgiveness of my sin and remove any hindrance tonight that would cause your word to not go forth with power. Lord, it has to be your word, not the wisdom of man. Lord, not our intellect, not our presentation, but God, the power of the Holy Spirit in presenting your word to the hearts of your people and to those that are lost. I thank you, God, that you gave us life and you gave it to us abundantly in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Everybody has issues in their life, but I wonder tonight, is everybody happy with themselves today? Or would you say you're happy with yourself today? Are you content with the things as they are in your life? If you know anything about manufacturing and the culture in manufacturing today, you're never supposed to be content with where you are. We were never supposed to accept the way things were for long, continually improving, but we should always want our lives to be better, and especially for the Lord. But what would make you happier in your life? And you know that that's a loaded question. You know it's coming, but is it more money? Is it better health? Is it more things, a better job, a bigger job, more time for pleasure, greater influence, more privilege? All of these things, would they make us happier? Has anyone ever said, I just want to live the way I want to? Now, young people may say that more often than older adults, right? But you remember when you were a teenager? I just want to live the way I want to. I just want to be who I am. I don't want my parents telling me what to do, or my school teachers or Sunday school teachers telling me that. One of these days, nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. Let me ask you, have you ever been gotten tired of being hemmed up by the expectations of other people and what they expect for your life. Well, that's how I feel, but in a different sense tonight. I'm tired of being hemmed up in this body and in this flesh. I want to live the way I want to. And when we talk about going home, we talk about being released, right? Being released from this body. And living in the presence of the Lord, taking on that glorified body. But for now, I'm tired of being a servant of this flesh. I'm tired of meeting the expectations of society. I'm tired of meeting what other people consider their worries about the world and how they think of me. I'm tired of pandering to the desires of this body and to this flesh. Paul said, you know, there in Romans chapter 7, I think there at the end, he talks about what's going to deliver me from this bondage of sin. I thank God, Jesus Christ. But this old man that we live in, this flesh, keeps us from living the way that the Spirit wants us to. Brother Mike often makes reference to verse 9 and there in chapter 3 about that Spirit, and he talked about it this morning, that seed that lives within us, that seed that dwells in us, is sinless. And so, few thoughts tonight in the time that we have. One, I want to be passionate about God. I want my soul, as it says in Psalm chapter 42 and verse 1, to pant after God. Pant after thee, O God, as a hart panteth after the water brooks. Why can't we have a passion for God? What holds you back from having a passion for the Lord? It's His flesh. Now, we bring a lot of that on ourselves, right? We get ourselves involved in things and we get busy. But we ought to have a passion for God. I want Jesus to come first in my life, as it says in Matthew chapter 10 there in verse 37. I want Jesus first in my life. But He's not always, is He? I want to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but to seek after the Lord and dwell in His house and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want that. Now understand me, I don't want that in the flesh. I want it in the Spirit. I want it in the Spirit of God. This flesh doesn't want to do that. There's a battle. There's a war raging all the time. Also, I want to be pricked in my reins. I want the conviction of sin, as it says in Psalms chapter 73 and verse 21. I want to be convicted of sin. I want preaching. I want hard preaching. Brother Muncy, the pastor brought it a little bit today. I felt the sting a couple of times today, and I need that. Don't pander to me. Don't feed this flesh because it's going to be ugly. Preach the Word. I want to pass by sin and ignore the lure and the lust of it because of the bite and the sting of sin itself. I want to be able to ignore it, not look at it, not entertain it. You know, the psalmist said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I don't want to become calloused and hardened to sin. I don't want to get to where I'm used to the dark. I don't want to get to the point, well, that's okay. And we know this nation, what's happening in this nation, the things that we once thought as a nation we wouldn't accept. Now we prop it up and we want to push it on everybody and we advertise it and we put it on television. But I don't want to become calloused to the things of sin. I want to always be reminded of how lust, when it has conceived, brings forth death. I don't want to forget about that. We, you know, if you go to most churches, they'll glaze over and they'll smooth out and they'll make sin look appetizing and look appealing. But I don't need that. I don't want that. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death and misery and destruction. I need to be reminded of that to help me in the flesh. And so these sayings are the ways that I want to live. I want to probe and ponder and practice the Word of God. To get in there and study and look and see what God has to say to me and then practice it. It's not enough, as James said, to hear the Word and not be doers of it. We need to be practicing it. I want to search the Scriptures in John chapter 5 and verse 39 says, "For they are they, when you think you have eternal life, they are they which testify of me," Jesus said. I want to get in the Word of God. I want to meditate day and night in the Word, because blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, and his law doth he meditate day and night. I want that. How often do you pick up the Word and get in it? How often do I? And I mean study it. I mean let God speak to you and meditate. Brother Mike, again, said this morning in Sunday school about fasting. And we'll get to that in a minute too. But take time to set aside to get away from everything. You know, I thought the other day, if I would spend the time in the Word of God that I spend looking at the things of the world, I could serve Him much better. Putting these things aside. C.D. Cole said, "Sin will keep you from the Word, and the Word will keep you from sin." We need to think about that. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night." I want to meditate on the Word of God. Do you get things in your mind that are not beneficial to your spiritual man? We sure do. Have you ever at the end of the day gone to go to your closet to pray and you have so much going through your head you can't pray? You know, great peace have we whose mind has stayed on the Lord, right? And so we ought to want to meditate on these things. And we ought to want to meditate on them because we want to observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein, that thou might make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. He says in Psalm 19:11 that in keeping the Word is great reward. And think about the opposite of that, in not keeping the Word, what it is. Keeping His Word in that is great success. Not keeping it will bring a lot of harm and destruction. Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." And so it's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to read it. It's not enough to listen to other preachers, listen to people preach it. But you have to listen to it, meditate on it, practice it. It has to be who you are. The Word of God has to make you who you are. Jesus Christ is that Word. I want to pursue after souls. As Epperson's saying tonight, you know, we want to do what God wants us to do, but we want to love what God loves. And who does God love? People. We need to love people because God loves people. But we ought to want to pursue after souls. And this, you know, it's very frustrating in this flesh when pursuing after souls. Why can't my heart's desire and prayer be, as Paul said in Romans chapter 10, is always my heart and desire and prayer is to see those around me saved. Why can't I want that all the time? Why can't I desire that? That's what I want in my life. Why can't I trust God to know that he that winneth souls is wise? That's not difficult. And why do we fight against it? Why does this flesh, we let this flesh win in that? Why can't I know and feel drawn, as Jude says there in verse 23, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Being a witness and a testimony to the things of Jesus Christ and being able to share what He's done for us. That's not difficult, but we make it difficult. I know a lot of people will put you off and they'll try to divert you, but just be a testimony for what Jesus has done for you. Why can't I be a fisher of men? Jesus expects it. I want to be a proclaimer of the gospel. I want to live the life that I want to. And it's kind of like talking in the third person because I want to live the life that that Spirit in me wants me to live. I don't want to live the life that the flesh wants. I lived that long enough. You? Did you live the life of the flesh long enough? It was enough. But I want to be a proclaimer of the gospel. Not to be a preacher, but to preach the gospel. Proclaim it. Proclaim it and publish it. None of us in here, most of us, are not bucking for a new position. We're not looking to be a pastor or a preacher. We're just called to proclaim the Word of God and be faithful in our lives to do that. And we find it so difficult in this flesh. We can do the preaching as a church member without a title, right? And as a church, we're commanded in Mark chapter 16 and 15 to take that gospel out. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of they who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things." Now, we may not all have pretty feet. You may not want to show your feet off. But I'm telling you, if we're taking the gospel to the lost, we have beautiful feet. Amen. And it doesn't matter what you look like with your shoes off. If you have, and you know, ladies, we talk about the beauty of women. If you're telling people about Jesus Christ and you have a sweet, Christ-like spirit, you have a loving spirit, you're beautiful. You know, as they say, beautiful is as beautiful does. Pretty is as pretty does. But beautiful are the feet of those who take forth that gospel message. I want to pray in the Spirit. What did John say there in Revelation? That on the Lord's day, right? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I would to God that we would be in spirit when we pray. Make our prayers a little more effective to be in the Spirit. Praying according to the will of God, not according to the will of the flesh. Not our laundry list of things that we want, but just to glorify God in the Spirit. What does the Spirit of God want me to pray? I want to pray without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to pray without ceasing. Now, these are all tall orders, I know. And Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that he had a problem himself with all of this. And you know what Paul gave for the gospel? There was a widow in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37 that served God night and day with prayers and fastings. And again, we talk about fastings. We can give up a meal and pray. We can give up three meals and pray. You can give up, not asking us to fast 40 days and 40 nights. But how about whatever that is in our life that we feel like we have to do all the time, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on our computer, on our phone, whether it's doing our hobby, give that up to pray. That's all it's about. Brother Mike said this morning, just showing God that you're serious. Okay, Lord, let me get through my Facebook pages and see what everybody's up to, and then I'll pray. How about we just give that up now? How about we give up our time doing what we like to do and our hobbies and give up a meal, give up something to pray without ceasing? I want to pray with great earnestness according to the will of God and not according to my flesh. Now, you say, well, how do I know to pray? How do I pray in the will of God? By knowing the will of God in the Word. If you're ignorant of the things of God through His Word, you're going to pray in the flesh. We have to know what God wants in order to know how to pray. If you don't, you're going to pray for the things of the flesh, the things that you think are important. I want to put off the behavior of the old man. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed with this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to put off the behavior of this old man. I want to control, as Paul said, I want to bring his body into subjection. Control my thoughts. Control my tongue. Let my speech be seasoned with grace. The things that I say, I want to be edifying. I don't want to be in the flesh. I want to put off that old man. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am. I know that. I have no doubt about that. Knowing what my past was, knowing what I desire now, I know that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I know that, but I want to act like it. And pastor's had a burden here lately about people not behaving themselves as it becomes a gospel. You know, God forbid that we don't behave ourselves as becomes the gospel, because we're a hindrance to those things. That new man that lives within me brings holiness and sanctification and peace and righteousness, but I want to live in that. I want that to come out. As a preacher said, that like the old gourd, you put grease in a gourd, it can't help but leak out. I want the things of God to leak out from me and not keep it inside. I guess it was Brother Wisdom talked about being a thief. The things that God gives you and then you keep it inside. That was convicting. I thought, boy, that's true. I'm a thief. I've been given all this and then I won't give it out. That was convicting. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, would you look there with me? We'll try to get through, wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to put off that old man. And in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4, who being past filling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have learned Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Put off the conversation of the old man. Put off those behaviors. You shouldn't be doing what you did. There ought to be a change. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have power to overcome that stuff. He saves us, right, from the penalty of sin. And He also saves us from the power of sin. And one day He's going to save us from the very presence of sin. But not only do I want to put off the old man, but I want to put on the new man. If you go on and reading there in Ephesians 4 and verses 23 and 24, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." It does matter how we look. It does matter how we present ourselves. It does matter what the world thinks about our presentation in the world. How, you know, we can, you're not going to get anybody saved by what you say, but you can sure be a hindrance to the gospel. I can be a hindrance to the gospel. You know, you always heard, you know, does God prevent me from drinking a beer? Well, can you bow your head over that with a lost person and give God thanks for it? Can you be a witness with that in front of you? I would prefer to keep my life in check with the Word of God, that my testimony might not be a stumbling block. Just like Lot, right? And so I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to prefer my brothers and my sisters. Romans 14, 21 says, I do not want to do anything that would cause my brother and sister to stumble. Now, this can be a big one for some of us because some of us just don't care. Well, I don't care what they think. I don't care if that hair lifts every dog in the county. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, that's a sorry attitude. That's not the Spirit of Christ. If I cause my brother or sister to stumble or be hindered in their ministry, in their work, in their faith, then I'm in the wrong. I want to prefer them. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's a command, folks. That's a command. That is a requirement. That's an expectation of us, each one of us. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Setting aside our desires, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the example that Jesus gave. You know, he said, the Son of Man hath not anywhere to lay his head. He gave it up. He gave up the riches of glory and came to earth, lived a sinless life and died and rose again for us while we were yet enemies, right? Christ died for us. There was nothing good in you and nothing good in me to warrant or merit the love of Jesus Christ, and yet he gave it. That's what's expected of us. So I want to wrap up. Romans chapter 7, you can go through that. We're not going to read it. But Paul talked about that battle, talked about the things that I would do, I don't do, the things that I should. I don't, the things I shouldn't, that warring in the members, but let us emulate a God-honoring life as our Savior did. And let this mind be in us that was in Him. He's our example. Folks, we have that seed in us. We have that Spirit of Christ in us, that hope of glory. I hope tonight we all can say we have that hope of glory. But that same Spirit that gives us a hope of heaven is the same Spirit that gives us the power to live as we ought to. And so, as that song says, only one life and soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I hope we don't waste our time, waste our efforts, our energy in the flesh as born-again children of God. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get wrapped up in stuff. And hopefully we'll have somebody that will lovingly rebuke us. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That wisdom of the flesh. I want not to live in the flesh, but many times I do. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We'll always have this flesh to deal with. We'll always have this thing to deal with as long as we're living. But God didn't call us to that. God called us to have power over the flesh through the Spirit, through the Word. And so I want to live the way I want to, the way that the Spirit of God wants me to, and not according to the flesh. And it was a burden on my heart, and he's been talking about it, he's been preaching it, and it just the burden just got to be a little stronger. But you're welcome any of you. We are to encourage and exhort one another, right? Exhort, rebuke with long-suffering. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to that brother and restore him. I don't ever want to get out of the will of God. I don't ever want to be out of church. I don't ever want to be out of sorts with the Word of God. I don't ever want to be out of fellowship with God's people. And I sure don't want to be out of fellowship with God. And if you ever see that in me, I'd appreciate it if you'd come to me. And God will be pleased if you do. May He bless the Word. Brother, thank you for the opportunity.